Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So what a week in politics. Man, this was something this week. And it ended with the appropriate bang. It ended with Obamacare still being here. And basically, Republicans saying it will be here for a long time because they're not going to do anything about it. I mean, this has to be the biggest capitulation, the biggest, violating voters' trust, the biggest stabbing the American voter in the back ever. This is like read my lips on steroids. I can't remember in modern American history when a promise was made to the voters of the country and then reneged on so quickly, so dramatically, and so thoroughly as what these Republicans have done. It is truly remarkable and unbelievable. And it's the House, it's the Senate, it's the President. The President, in a sense, is kind of, touting this as somehow he's spinning this as going to be good. The whole attitude is an attitude of who cares about us? Who cares about the American people? I mean, Trump literally said in his tweets, he said, yeah, Obamacare is going to collapse, and then we'll get together with Democrats and do a deal that's good for the people. What about us, all of us in America, who are going to suffer while this thing collapses? And what deal do you think you can do with Democrats? Give us Canadian-style healthcare? No, thank you. Give us British-style healthcare? No, thank you. I don't want socialized healthcare. That's why people said they voted Republican. It's why they voted for Donald Trump, because he could get stuff done and we could get rid of Obamacare. And now we're stuck with it. Now, I don't know. You guys are much more Republicans than I am. I don't tend to, and this time, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. You guys are enthusiastic Republicans. Hey, I was booed in Chicago because I dared criticize Donald Trump. And yet, the one promise they've been making for 7 years, the reason you elected a House majority in 2010, the reason you gave them the Senate, the reason or main reason why Donald Trump was elected was to get rid of Obamacare. No. Nah. Ain't happening. It's too hard. We gave up. I mean, think about it. They've been making excuses about this forever. This was at the core of everything that they ran on this last election, and actually the last seven years, all the elections. It was repeal and replace. It was part of the pledge for America, to America, right? And when they only had the House, they said, well, we can't do it now because we don't have the Senate. And then they got the Senate, and they said, well, even if we repeal Obamacare, Obama's gonna veto it, so we can't do it now. We need the White House. Please give us the White House, they said to us. Okay. American people gave them the White House. They have the House. They have the Senate. They have the White House. Now what are they complaining about? Oh, we don't have 60 seats in the Senate. We don't have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. Help, help. It's pathetic. It is truly, unequivocally pathetic. It didn't even go to a vote. And how long have they been trying? For 2 months? And what have they been doing over the last 7 years? Why couldn't they have come up with a bill that they ran on, repeal and replace, which passed the House a number of times? Why didn't they just pass that? Ah! And I know everybody's blaming the Conservative Freedom Caucus, right? They're default. Really? They're the only ones who remember that the promise was to repeal and replace. Not to replace Obamacare with Obamacare Lite, but to get rid of Obamacare. So they stood their ground because what their leadership and what Trump presented them was garbage. It really is unbelievable. You know, I find it hard to believe. I thought what they would do would be something bad, but I thought they'd do something. I thought something would come across. But no, and they just gave up fighting. They couldn't get the votes. They didn't have more sessions, didn't have more discussions, didn't try to cut more deals. No. You know, Trump said, I've got other things to do. Who cares about these Americans who want a better healthcare system? That's not a priority right now. I want to build a wall. Yeah, that'll make a difference in America's life. The wall. The wall that'll be full of holes. The wall that won't be built for at least a generation, if it's ever built. But we're going to spend tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars on a wall. But now we're not going to touch Obamacare. No. Too difficult. Too hard. And we don't have the patience. We don't have the time. We don't have the patience. Can you tell I'm pissed off? I mean, it's just truly unbelievable. It truly is unbelievable. I mean, what Republicans should have done is they should have had a bill ready before Donald Trump was inaugurated president. They should have had a bill ready that was pro-free markets, that repealed Obamacare completely and put in place free market conditions, got rid of the regulations, allowed for interstate buying of health insurance policies, allowed for individuals to deduct their health care costs from their taxes. I mean, all the stuff that we've been talking about for 7 years, all the things that we know will improve health care in America. Nope, can't do that. Can't do that because we've got a president who promised universal health care, and we've got to build walls. And we've got to tighten up the borders, and who has time for poor old Americans' health care? You know, that's just a luxury. And, you know, Obamacare's not that bad. And when it does implode, then when it implodes, when people who don't have health insurance are suffering, when people maybe are dying because they didn't get the right health coverage, or maybe when it just impoverishes us, that is, it consumes our money like crazy because insurance premiums are going through the roof. Then when it implodes, then Donald Trump will get off his butt and actually do something to fix it. And what's the need to fix? He's not going to repeal and replace. That's not what he promised. It's not what he tweeted. What he's going to do to fix it? He's going to meet with Democrats, and they're going to come up with a plan that the Democrats and the Republicans can believe in. And what is the only plan you're going to get Democrats to agree on? It's either to fix little pieces in Obamacare or to scrap Obamacare for a single-payer system. Either way, we, the American people, we, the people who believe in freedom and individualism and rights and want the best healthcare system in the entire world, which we could have if we adopted free market principles, we are ignored. We don't matter. And this is your president. This is the guy you guys elected. This is the guy who's stabbing us in the back. This is the guy who promised on the campaign trail over and over and over again, repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. That's what they did. But this is Republicans. You stand for nothing. You stand for nothing. Here was your one opportunity to do something good for the country, do something good for us citizens, do something good for the world. And you caved quickly. That's the other thing that drives me nuts. Right? Fight. Are you going to fight for something? Fight for it. Fight for repeal and replace. No. Can't get it done in two months after you floundered around and did it in secret in sessions. And I mean, they should have had the plan ready before Congress got into session. They should have put it into Congress. They should have had public hearings. They should have advertised it. They should have let the world know about it. It should have been a free market, radical change in healthcare, dramatic movement towards free markets. Let there be discussion. Let's run ads. Let's debate it. Let's discuss it. And hopefully, let's get it passed and win. But no, it was all done in secret committee meetings. Nobody knew what was going to be in it. And it rejected the whole principle of repeal and replace from day one because there was not going to be any repeal. And the focus was all on not replacing it, but just tinkering with existing infrastructure. keeping Obamacare's infrastructure, just tinkering with the insights. It was repeal and replace, not tinker and improve. But I guess nobody cares. I don't know. I guess nobody cares because everybody seems to be yawning in life. And there's an excellent, by the way, an excellent article in the Washington Examiner by Philip Klein, who goes after these guys perfectly. I mean, he's really good. I don't know him that well. I haven't read it before, but this is an excellent piece. We'll get to another paragraph in this piece in a minute because he nails it. But look, we'll talk in a little while about why this is. And you can call in 312-642-5600. You explain to me what Republicans are doing. Your party, 312-642-5600. We're going to be back to talk about why this is happening after this.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
If you like what you hear on The Yaron Brooks Show and want to engage more with host Yaron Brooks, be sure to follow him on social media. Lucky for you, it's easier than ever to get updates, ask questions, and hear answers from one of the leading minds in objectivism. Follow Yaron today on Twitter, at Yaron Brooks, YouTube, YBrooks. That's Twitter, at Yaron Brooks, and YouTube, YBrooks. You can also sign up for show updates at Blog Talk Radio. Simply search The Yaron Brooks Show.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I hope you're angry, because I sure am. I'm furious. I'm furious at Donald Trump, and I'm furious at these Republicans. And you should be, too. And if you're not, I don't know. I don't know. I think America's finished. It's lost. It's lost. And I know. There are people out there who will rationalize anything Donald Trump says or does. They will explain it away. Somebody wrote on Facebook, well, the president doesn't make laws. Well, but he was involved from beginning to end. He framed the debate. We have to have universal coverage, and we have to take care of pre-existing condition. So he tilted the whole debate to the left dramatically right to begin with. And he was the one who sat down with congressmen and put the pressure, or didn't put the pressure on, and blamed the conservative Freedom Caucus. He was the one who pulled the plug on the whole thing, him and Ryan. So of course the president is involved. Of course it's the president's fault, together with congressional Republicans. Stop accepting anything Donald Trump says and does. That's ridiculous. He's wrong on this. He was wrong in the campaign about this. He's wrong right now on this. And you should be furious. And if you voted for him, you should be particularly furious because he lied to you. He lied to you. He wasn't willing to fight for this. Think about what Obama did to get Obamacare. Now, I hate Obama, but you have to respect what he did. First of all, it took them 13 months, not two, 13 months, 13 months to get the bill from initial concept to the final passage. 13 months. And they lobbied, and they had public hearings, and they had multiple drafts. And they negotiated even through Christmas. And they fought for it because they believed in it. They believed in it, so they fought for it. They didn't have a filibuster-proof majority because they lost it, right, in that election. So they couldn't pass it with 60 votes, so they found a roundabout way to get it by. And Obama was everywhere. He did rallies and meetings and speeches and a summit and all kinds of stuff to sell the bill to the American people and to sell the bill to Congress. And what has Trump done? Nothing. Nothing to try to get this passed. And what have Republicans done? Nothing. 2 months and they gave up. Throw their hands up, walk away. Giving up. All to play this political game that now Trump is pretending exists. Oh, when it fails, it'll be Democrats' fault. Really? It'll be your fault because you didn't fix it. It'll be your fault because you didn't replace it. And my suffering is going to be on you, not on Democrats. All right, Bob. Bob wants to fire. I thought he wanted to fire me, but he might want to fire Donald Trump. Hey, Bob, you're on your own Brooks Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
No, I don't want to fire you. I'm pissed off too. I want to file. You know, I voted for Donald Trump for what he said he stood for, and I'm sorry, but I don't believe him now. He's totally lost my confidence in him, and you know, just like his show, I would say, Donald, you're fired. You didn't do what you said you could do.
Yeah, it's a massive betrayal. One of the largest betrayals, political betrayals, I think, in American history. And it's not just Trump. It's the House and Senate. It's, you know, they campaigned on this for 7 years. This isn't something new. They should have been prepared, right?
Right. Well, I never had any confidence in the Democrats or Republicans anyway. I think both of them are out. They're outdated parties. We need a new party that's going to look out for the working man, which I thought was going to be the Tea Party, but they're just too weak, I guess.
They're too weak, and they never had political leadership. I think if people like Cruz and maybe Rand and Lee and a couple of other of the better senators would have said, okay, we're going to lead the Tea Party and start a third party, then I think you would have got something really interesting going on in the United States in terms of politics. But the fact is they were too cowardly to do that. They stayed within the Republican Party, and we are now and we got Donald Trump, which a lot of people put a lot of hope into. And so far, you know, I have to give him an F because this is the biggest challenge he's faced so far, and he's flunked it. He's flunked it. All right,
these
thanks, Bob. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank
go
you.
Ahead.
These people are never going to leave their party because they're comfortable in the party.
Yeah, I know. I know, but remember, thanks, Bob. Thanks for calling. Really appreciate it. Remember that the Republican Party was founded by people who had the guts to get up from the Whig Party, which was the pre-Republican Party, and splinter off and start a Republican Party. So the Republican Party is a relatively new party, 100 years ago, 140 years ago. So, but there was a Whig Party that they spun out of. But unfortunately, politicians today just don't have the courage, and they don't have the principles. And you're right. They're too comfortable. They're too comfortable ruling over our lives. And, you know, where do we go from here? That's a real big question. Where do the American people go if everybody betrays them? And we need to get to the core root of why this is and what needs to change. But I definitely think we need a third party. And we need a party that is committed to free markets, that is committed to being, in a sense, socially liberal, to forget about the social issues and really focus on getting this economy growing at 5% and to freeing the individual and freeing up entrepreneurs and freeing up businesses to really create jobs and grow the economy and just have more freedom, right? At the end of the day, that's what this country is about. It's about freedom. It's about individual rights. And what we need is a political party that's really committed to that, and we don't have one. We just have two political parties playing with power and playing with who has the most power and how are they going to manipulate the power over us. And the only way to help working class Americans is to get out of the way, is to get government out of the way. It's lower, dramatically lower regulations, dramatically lower taxes, and a free market in healthcare, just like we have free markets and everything else. You know, free markets work and we all benefit when they exist. It's when they try to help people, that's when we get into trouble. So the last thing I want is a president who tries to help working class Americans. I want the president to focus on getting the government out of our lives, and working class Americans will do great. So will every other part of America do. Freedom. Freedom. Remember that? What a concept. All right, we've got Johnny on the line. Hey, Johnny, how's it going?
Hey, Dr. Brooke. The point that I'd like to make is, if I understand this correctly, President Trump had promised universal coverage, that all Americans would have health insurance. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong about that. But the fundamental contradiction is if we have universal coverage, then people who aren't willing to pay for their health care, their insurance, or trade something for their insurance, who's going to pay for those people?
Yep.
Well, it's the people who are willing to pay for their health insurance.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. Look, universal coverage is not free market medicine. Universal coverage requires redistribution of wealth. It requires regulation. It requires controls. The only way to get a free market in healthcare, which is my goal and what I thought the Republicans stood for, they pretended at least well, is to abandon the idea of universal coverage, but to pass laws that eliminate regulations on insurance companies and everything else so that costs go down. A free market, what happens in a free market? Quality goes up and costs go down. And if costs go down, everybody in America will be able to afford health insurance. Now, some people still choose not to have it, and that's their problem, right? I don't think hospitals should treat them. I don't think you should treat unless they have money through charity to be able to treat them. But if people choose not to have health insurance when it's cheap, then they should suffer the consequences of that. But let's get to a point where it's cheap. And the only way to get to a point where it's cheap is to adopt a system like Singapore has. Singapore has, in my view, probably the best healthcare system in the world. It basically, you pay for all your health expenses out of pocket up to a certain level, and then insurance only kicks in above a certain level. So basically, you're buying insurance just for catastrophic expenses, for large expenses, but you're paying out of pocket for the basic stuff. Everything is private. All the hospitals are private. All the doctors are private. And, you know, you buy the insurance for the catastrophic stuff, and the rest of the stuff, you got the snivels, you got the flu, you got something like that. You go into a clinic, and you pay the doctor $50 to look after you. Remember when Walmart used to have, they tried this idea of having clinics all over the country, and they, you know, and it was going to be cheap. It was going to be great for working class Americans, for even poor Americans, and it was going to be out of cost, and they were driven out of the business by regulations, by legal expenses. All right, Johnny, really appreciate your call. You're absolutely right. Universal healthcare coverage is part of the problem, and Republicans should know this and should be better than this, but this is the president you guys chose. You guys chose them. And let me just say something quickly. Somebody here is telling me, well, but the Canadian system, it's not bad. Why not have universal health care? You don't know what you're talking about. If the Canadian system was so good, why does every time a wealthy or politically connected Canadian who gets really sick go down to the Mayo Clinic? Why do we have buses that travel down from the Canadian border with sick people to the Mayo Clinic and the Cleveland Clinic and other places in the U.S.? The Canadian system is so good. You know, why do they need our help? And they do. And he says life expectancy in Canada is the same. Well, let me get to life expectancy after the break. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show, and we'll talk about why.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind? A hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades? The need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Objectivist Summer Conference 2017, or OCON 2017 for short, will take place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, June 10th through the 15th. The conference will be held at this historical center of industrial America and will celebrate productive heroes and the heroism of productiveness. They'll also honor the 60th anniversary of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. The Ayn Rand Institute is offering a 25% discount on conference registration fees until February 28th. If you want to take advantage of the lower rates, now's the time to sign up. Experience the uniquely inspiring events only an objectivist conference offers. Register, and you'll have the opportunity to attend intellectually stimulating talks, panel discussions, and workshops with people who share your values. Visit objectivistconferences.com and sign up today. That's objectivistconferences.com. Students, you can apply for a scholarship to cover some or all of your expenses.
See you at Ocon 2017.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
So we were just discussing life expectancy between the Canadian single-payer disaster and the American healthcare system that everybody in the world out there, and I get this when I travel all over the world, everybody thinks it's horrible here. Everybody thinks we're dying like flies in the street. And one of the things they always say is, look, life expectancy is the same, yet you pay a huge amount of money for it. But when you actually look at the numbers, life expectancy here in Canada is about the same. That's true. But Canadians in America do very, very well. And there are genetic components. We have a much more diverse population than Canada and other places. And when you take into account the genetic component, our life expectancy is higher than most places in the world. For example, Japanese Americans live the longest in the world. Japanese Americans live just as long as Japanese, if not longer, right? But the one thing that we have in America is a lousy lifestyle. We don't exercise. We eat crap. We have massive numbers of obese people. Yeah. So life expectancy is a little lower in the U.S. than some European countries because the lifestyle choices. What is amazing to me is in spite of these lousy lifestyle choices so many Americans make, that our healthcare system still keeps them alive. We have a great healthcare system. I would rather be sick in America than in any place on the planet. And I would be, and if I was going to get, you know, hope I never do, but if I was going to get heart disease or cancer or serious, real serious disease, this is the place to do it, people. We have the best care, the best doctors, the best technology, the best treatments right here in this country. And most of medical innovation happens right here in the United States. So we indeed are subsidizing the rest of the world in innovation. We spend most of the dollars on R&D. We do most of the research. We do most of the trials. And we innovate here because we're still relatively free. And they spend nothing. And they get it once it's been proven over here. So there are lots of reasons why. But if America became a socialized healthcare system and we had less innovation as a consequence, then look, everybody in the world would suffer. The quality of healthcare throughout the globe would decline dramatically. So don't give me that Canadians live as long. They live as long because they're next to the United States and they can cross the border anytime to get treatment for serious diseases here in the U.S. All right, I'm not going to get into a whole discussion and comparison between the U.S. system and single-payer systems. Let me just say this. I was born and raised in Israel. Many of you know that. And my father was a doctor, and he worked in the Israeli medical healthcare system, a single-payer socialized healthcare system. And it was terrible. It was terrible. And the way my father was treated as a doctor and the way we as patients were treated. I do not want that for this country. I moved to the U.S. because I believe in freedom. I immigrated to this country because I believe in freedom. And some of that freedom's in healthcare. I don't want that freedom taken away from me. Now, some of it has with Obamacare. And I thought these Republicans were going to fight for me. Well, that's the last time I'm going to believe them. I shouldn't have believed them this time either. But, you know, I know a lot of you did too. And I really do hope that, like our callers, and like me, you are mad. And you should let Donald Trump know you are mad. You should let the Republicans know that you are mad. Not only didn't they vote an alternative, but they didn't present us with an alternative that's worth voting for. At least present us something. Let it fail, but present us something good. Show us what's possible. Give us a vision of what you believe in. Show us what free markets can look like. That's what the bill should have been. And if it failed, then it failed. But no, I mean, I'm convinced that the Republicans did not want to be successful. They didn't want it because they don't care about us. They care about having talking points in elections. And now they can keep their talking points about how awful Obamacare is. And they think we're stupid So we want to ask the question, well, why didn't you do anything about it when you had a chance? And Trump doesn't want to fix Obamacare because then he'll get stuck with the alternative. And he's worried that the alternative, some people might get pissed off. They might not be happy. And he wants people to be happy. He wants you to love him. There's nothing more that Donald Trump wants than to be loved by you. So he doesn't want to risk your wrath by replacing Obamacare with something that might not work or might not work as well or might, you know, some might not work for some people. I am convinced that the Republicans never wanted to repeal Obamacare because this was a pathetic effort. Remember, Democrats spent 13 months getting this passed. 2 months, these cowards gave up, tail between the legs, and ran away. Now, this is very indicative. And we're going to take a call from Sean after this break. But this is very indicative of the whole Republican Party, of the whole political process. They don't believe in principles. They don't have principles. And they don't have the right principles when they do. And they're not there to protect my rights. They're not there as my servant. They're there to rule over me. And, you know, Sean is going to clarify why I am angry when we get back. And why you guys should be angry. And I'm worried that I don't think you are. I don't think you are. I think you voted for Trump and you're willing to accept anything he gives you. We'll be right back after this break.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at aynrand.org/support.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit aynrand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to aynrand.org today.
The battle for philosophic change is a challenging one. It's a long-term educational effort and a battle the folks at the Ayn Rand Institute willingly undertake each and every day. In the year ahead, ARI is going to educate the public on key matters of policy facing our country and describe the work they're doing, especially with young people, to build momentum for a future that enshrines reason, individual liberty, and capitalism. You can hear from ARI's intellectuals in person about the great work in progress by attending this special event, Building a Future of Reason and Capitalism, in a city near you. Visit ari.aynrand.org/events to learn more. That's ari.aynrand.org/events. Don't miss this special event, Building a Future of Reason and Capitalism. Go to ari.aynrand.org/events for all the details. ari.aynrand.org/events.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So before we go to Sean, I have a confession to make. I'm actually not that angry. I'm acting angry because, well, it makes good radio. But more importantly, because I think you guys need to be angry. I expected nothing less than what happened. I mean, indeed, on this show, if you've listened to the past few weeks, I predicted that they would not repeal Obamacare, that we would not get any movement towards free markets, that I did not vote for Trump because I didn't believe a word he said, and the stuff he said that I believed I didn't like. There's nothing about Republicans I really like. But you, the listeners, who I know are Republicans, I know you love Donald Trump, or many of you do anyway. You should be angry. It's you I'm trying to get to see how bad this really is and how you need to start demanding real changes, not superficial changes, and how you need to elect somebody better than Donald Trump next time because he's pathetic. He's pathetic. Now, if somebody wants to defend Trump, call up. Because Sean is going to unleash hell on the guy. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Well, very good. But there's something really diabolical that I love the fact no one really talks about. And that is that insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies are among the top contributors to each and every congressman. Each one of them.
Yep.
In the top five, you will find insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies. So
wouldn't
I am
you be, if they controlled your fate, wouldn't you contribute to every congressman if they were controlling your fate and they were going to write regulations one way or the other that controlled everything that you did?
And preventing competition. See, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, I blame the politicians, though, because it's the politicians that inflict the regulations and the prevention of competition and all the garbage on these companies. And then the companies have no choice. We have to defend ourselves somehow. Now, they don't do it very well, just like the rest of the culture.
You bastardized government. They're political whores who, if they've given enough money, will eat a banana and crap a fruit salad if I tell them to. And that's what they are. And here, 60 votes. 60 votes. They repealed Obamacare while Obama was the president, and 60 times it passed. Now you can't pass it once because they didn't attach.
But they didn't even present a bill to repeal Obamacare. They presented this mealy mouthed, middle of the road, half Obamacare, half not Obamacare light monstrosity. Well, of course the Republicans didn't vote for that. I mean, the leadership and Trump presented a bill that nobody should have voted for. It was pathetic. But that this, because after 7 years, this is what they have to present us?
Well, you know this. Who wrote that bill? Blue Cross and Blue Shield, right? Insurance brokers and lobbyists. Just like who wrote Dodd-Frank? Citibank, Bank of America, lobbyists and lawyers. That's who put these bills together. To think that these guys actually put the bill together in conjunction with the demands of the people is really giving them far too much credit. Because they don't do it that way. You had 7 years to produce a bill. Seven years. Do nothing.
And they have the Health and Human Services. The guy who runs Health and Human Services, Price, actually had a bill that was really good that would have actually moved us towards free market in healthcare. He's in power. He can do what he wants, right? He's got Trump's
million.
Ear.
Hold on. You
nothing.
Mean Tom Price
nothing.
That made $13 million, holds a $13 million stock portfolio, all mysteriously of medical companies and insurance companies?
Well, he's a doctor. Give him a break. Give him a break. You're imputing corruption on the guy. I'm not willing to go there yet, although I am suspicious.
show me a congressman without a winning stock portfolio. Show me a congressman.
Well, of course, they got inside information. They're the only people on the planet who are allowed to trade on inside information, information they create, right? And they all make money off of it because they manipulate the market through their regulations,
so
and they trade in
virtue,
advance.
And we pretend they have virtue, Yaron. This is what I
don't.
Mean. We are praying to a system that is corrupt from soup to nuts to save us and come up with answers.
We need to scrap
They're not.
It and start
They want
over.
Free-range slaves, and they implement the laws to keep us that way. I'm telling you, Yaron, I want to go to Gulch Gulch. You remember at the end of the book, I'm ready to go. It's over.
Me too. I just need somebody to invent it, to actually run it. Thanks, Sean. Really appreciate it. By the way, I think Sean still has a radio show on Sundays. You can catch him on AM560 in Chicago on, I think it's Sunday evenings. I don't completely agree with Sean. Sean puts more of the blame on the pharmaceuticals and insurance companies than I would. Let me just tell you, the pharmaceuticals and insurance companies all lobbied for Obamacare. And when they got Obamacare, they were screwed by it. So profits in insurance companies have gone down. They haven't made money off of it. Stock prices are down. And indeed, the market actually expected that the repeal of Obamacare would cause insurance companies to do better, not worse. So they should have been supporting the repeal of Obamacare. Now, I don't know how they actually voted. I think they probably put their money on everybody because they want to be hedged and they don't want to piss anybody off. You don't want to piss people who control your livelihood. You don't want to piss people off who have the power to make or destroy you. And that's what politicians have today. And that's our fault. That's our fault. We have given politicians power over our lives. We have given politicians the power to destroy industries, to make industries, to reallocate profits, to decide about what's competitive and what's not competitive. I want, and this is my platform for my political party, right? If I ever create one. Well, there's a party out there called the Capitalist Party. This is the platform. Get government out of business. Get them out of the economy. No regulations, no controls, no favors, no loopholes. Nothing. No subsidies. No goodies. But no baddies either. No regulations either. Get the government out of my back. Get them out of business. I want a truly free market. Until we can have such a free market, we're going to get this crap over and over and over again. We're going to have this nonsense where all the fight is who's going to regulate it, who's going to control us, and how bad is it going to be, with nothing good in sight. All right. You're listening to The Radical for Capitalism. Yaron Brook. We'll be right back after this.
Rise and Fall, a new podcast from the Ayn Rand Institute, explores the power philosophic ideas have to shape the world and our individual lives. In each episode, host Amanda Maxim chooses a theme and then digs into the Ayn Rand Institute audio archives. That's where every lecture, radio program, course, and Q&A from objectivist voices that were caught on tape over the past 50 years wait to be uncovered. She takes these gems and weaves them together with commentary and original interviews. The topics of these podcast briefs are varied, from genetically engineered mosquitoes to Christmas, from Islamophobia to courtroom justice. But no matter the topic, Rise and Fall looks at many subjects through the lens of philosophy, namely, how ideas move and shape the world. Listen today at AynRand.org/Rise and Fall. One woman, one microphone, one key to the Ayn Rand Institute audio archives.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, so, you know, frustration, more than anger, really, because, and I'm not really frustrated, because I knew this was coming, and I told you this on the show. What you need in this country is a very, very fundamental revolution, an ideological revolution, a change of our beliefs at our core, not the populist garbage that Donald Trump gave us, building walls, blaming immigrants and Chinese for all of our problems, not the constant flip-flopping of Republicans who compromise with the left all the time. For 100 years, the Republicans have done nothing. But help the Democrats move us further and further and further towards collectivism and socialism. What we need is a revolution not dissimilar to the revolution that founded this country, a revolution that is focused, that is keyed on, that is geared towards freeing the individual from the coercive power of the state, whether that state is Congress or the president or whether it was a king back then. What we need is a revolution that is focused on freeing the individual, making it possible for us to live as we see fit, to make choices for ourselves. Hey, we're far from that revolution. That requires us to rethink morality, to rethink our whole view of the relationship between the state and the individual. Because the state is there, according to our founders. Oh, in a sense, all we have to do is go back to the founders, because our founders understood this. That the state is our servant. It's not our master. It doesn't tell us what kind of health insurance to buy. It doesn't tell us what doctor we can go and see. It leaves us free. It tells us nothing. It has no role in healthcare. Zero. Nada. Nothing. It prevents fraudsters. People calling themselves doctors when they're not really doctors. People selling treatments that don't actually work. It protects us from fraud. That's it. No other involvement. The state has no business in our healthcare. None. Zero. Only when we understand that, when that is our starting point, and that includes Medicare and Medicaid, I don't care if you're poor, I don't care if you're rich, I don't care if you're middle class, the state has no business in your healthcare. And only when we understand that the state can't use its coercive power to tell us what to buy and what not to buy, to take money from us, to give it to our neighbor so he can so-called afford his health care. When the state is divorced from health care, only then can we start talking about what a market looks like. Only then are we heading in the right direction. But nobody believes that. It's like me and 5 other people, Sean and me. That's it, right? We believe in such a state. But until that becomes a mass movement, until that mass movement replaces the collectivism, the mass collectivism that exists in this country, where we are willing to sacrifice the individual to the group, where we're willing to impose on the individual what the majority, the group, wants. When we disregard individual rights, left and right purposefully, because Republicans and Democrats all disregard individual rights, then what hope do we have? Our hope is with the founders, with resurrecting those ideas, the ideas of individualism, of the right, your right, every individual's right, to life, to liberty, and to the most selfish political statement in human history. You have a right, an inalienable right, that nobody can take away from you, to your own happiness. You've been listening to the Yaron Brook Show. Talk to you next week, same place, same time.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.